Well, I'll tell you, that's a good thought. How many of you really know what he's done for you? Come on. How many of you are real happy about what he's done for you? Wave at me a little bit. Let's get into this thing. It's a new year. Well, we ought to just feel free in the Lord. This is a good opportunity. By the way, the number 8 means new beginning. And there's nothing better than a new year for a new beginning and to get on fire for God and make some commitments that are real and do something for God. Say amen right there. If you got your Bibles, turn. I'm excited about preaching this morning. I'm excited about being in church this morning. By the way, I was in church with you last Sunday. I wasn't here in body, but I listened to the live stream, and it was awesome. And preaching Sunday morning, the preaching Sunday night, it was awesome. And Brother Zussman, you did a great job Sunday night leading the service. I was just absolutely thrilled. And thank God for the men the Lord has put in the church that are a blessing, that can stand up for God. We ought to just shout right there. Now, if you got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter number 2. I am not preaching a Christmas message, but I'm coming from a passage that a lot of people use for Christmas, but I'm going a little further into the chapter. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40. And I want to say this as I introduce this. If you're a Bible student, and I know many of you are, I want to note something with you, that as far as our Lord Jesus goes, there's a lot said about his birth. But after his birth, there's not much said. Absolutely, there's not much said until he comes out of the wilderness and starts his ministry. And then a lot said about him. The Bible says there's so much said about him that you couldn't contain it in all the books. Someone help me right there. But this is an occasion where something was said about Jesus, one of the few times in his adolescent life that something was said about him. And I want you to look at this chapter with me, and we'll start reading at verse 40, and I'll read down to verse 42 and bring you a thought today. I think I'll bless you. The Bible said, "And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother," underline these four words, "knew not of it." Now, really, verse 44, take a look. "But they supposing him to have been in the company." What it means is he'd been traveling with them. They thought he'd been traveling that whole day with them, and he was there. Am I right? Let's go on. "And they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintances," or acquaintance. "And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him was astonished." I don't know all. This isn't my sermon, but I had a happy thought, so I'll just throw a happy thought at you. Here he is, 12 years old. We got all those Pharisees, those doctors and lawyers, and that crowd was giving him a little talking to. And evidently he was impressed them. For them to talk to a 12-year-old, how many agreed that he was impressive to them? And he said that they were amazed. Now, I don't know what they said. Do you? But I just have a holy thought about it. I know I'd ask this if I was in there, but how old you, boy? And I believe this is what he said. On my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. But on my father's side, I'm forever. Somebody help me right there. I don't know what else they said. I don't know. I don't know. They may have asked this question. Where are you being in life? Now, if you study Jesus Christ, you can trace where he'd been. It was in about 150-mile radius of. So he said, "And probably on my mother's side, I've been to Bethlehem. I've been in around this community, but on my father's side, I was the one that spoke to Abraham and Sarah when they were in the tent. I also was the man that was." Standing in the fire, and Nebuchadnezzar saw me. The other boys didn't, but they didn't. They didn't burn. Woo! By the way, also I was in that fish that spit Jonah up out of the whale. Somebody help me there. He was amazing to them. I want to tell you what I think's happening in our churches today, and I want us to get over it right now. We've done forgot about how amazing he is. We done forgot about how wonderful he is. We done forgot about how gracious and merciful and kind and well-known. Amen. Have we not? Let's go on. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And the mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, boy, I bet he blew their mind here. "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" I'm going to say this on the first of the year, and I want you to get in this with me this morning. I'm happy. We ought to start the year off with Jesus, and it ought to all be Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about somebody start running their mouth with gossip. Tell them I ain't listening to it. If it's not about Jesus, can it? Somebody messing with your family. And you're not, and the devil's beating them, just tell them, if it ain't about Jesus, stay out. Amen. Well, glory. Now, he is right now, I sense him. I want to preach today on this thought. Would somebody please tell me where Jesus is? Would somebody please tell me where Jesus is? The Bible said they went a whole day's journey and they supposed that he was with them. You gotta be kidding me. Listen to me, if some of you people, if right now you lose track of your kids for that long, they be getting you in child's court. Am I preaching? They be nailing you down to the wall. They done went a whole day's journey and they just thought he was there. I want you to know something. That gives me a little bit more ground to preach. I want to tell you where we're at today in Christianity. We've got a lot of people that thinks he's around, but he ain't around. Hey, by the way, there's some of this stuff he ain't within 100 miles of. He ain't within 100 miles of a church that don't preach out of the King James Bible. He's not within 100 miles of a church that doesn't preach the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not within 100 miles of a church that doesn't support missions and actively go out and try to reach the world with the gospel. He's not within 100 miles of a church that doesn't go soul winning every week and trying to reach men and women with the gospel. Oh, help me. How many of you have ever... Actually, here's what they done. The only job Mary was given was one. keep track of her son. One. When the angel come to her, you've got the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got the Son of God. He's in, and by the way, I'm certain this is a problem with us. Sometimes he's been misplaced in our life. How many ever lost your child for any amount of time and scared you about half death? Anybody here? I remember James is the only one of my kids give me trouble. James loved Clyde Taylor. We used to live, you know, out there where that little grass is out there? They had a double wide trailer out there, and I lived there when we first come to Taze Valley Baptist Church for several years. And Clyde used to come down and get him on the tractor, and him and Clyde was tight. But one day, that dear woman right there, who looks sweet and innocent, ain't near as sweet and innocent as she looks. She said, "You seen James?" I said, "Uh-uh." "You're the one in charge of it." Oh, that wasn't good. She said, "I don't know where he's at." "Why, he's probably out with Clyde." I'll never forget this thing. I went out there. I said, "Clyde, you seen James?" "Why, he was up on the truck for about an hour ago, but I haven't seen him." I thought, oh. And we had one of them big red dogs. We call them big red dogs with a lot of hair and real pretty. Yeah, that's what we had. Oh, pretty. I couldn't find the Irish Setter. And we didn't have cell phones. Sometimes I wish I didn't now. Marguerite said, "You better find him." I said, "Well, I didn't lose him." And you can look at my weight now. I've lost a lot of weight, but then I was at my top. 165 more pounds than what I weigh right now. Good you. Hello? And I'll tell you what I did. Didn't have no cell phones. I said, "Stay by the phone. In case somebody calls." I went over to Marina Park. I went all the way around Marina Park. Now, you got to understand, 165 pounds heavier than I am right now, walking and going through fences, cutting myself with briars, then went over in this trailer park. Walked up and down Tate Valley Road. And no James. How many think I felt like the worst parent in the world? And I really told Marguerite she was the worst. I really did. And I was a nervous wreck. And I went, we got a call. Somebody said, "I think I see your dog up here close to Lowe's." I said, man, I run up Lowe's. Then the call back came later that they had a little 5-year-old boy, 6-year-old boy there at Lowe's. They didn't know, he didn't know his name. I said, he still knows. But, I failed him. Lord God, that's the scariest I ever been in my life. I want to tell you what. I grabbed a hold of him. I lifted him up. I said, "I love you. I miss you. I'm sorry." And he started crying too. And he put his arm around my neck. And said, "I love you too, Daddy. Why are you so upset?" I said, "Because you need God." Ladies and gentlemen, they ain't a parent in this room wouldn't have felt the same way. But I want to ask you as Christians, why is it we don't feel that way when Jesus is misplaced? I'll give you three things and we'll let you go home. Number one, I want you to notice in verse 41 and 43, or 41, 2 and 3, the Bible says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when the days were fulfilled as they returned, the child Jesus tarried in Jerusalem. Number one, I want you to notice that Mary and Joseph were faithful in their religion. I'm an independent, fundamental Bible believing Baptist. And by the way, if you aren't, you should be ashamed. And I want you to know something right now. A lot of us are, I look around here, you're faithful. I see you about every Sunday. I see you about every Wednesday. I see you on Sunday night, and you are faithful. But I wonder if Jesus, His Word, He should be in your life. I want to say this to you. You can be faithful and still be neglectful. Because you come to church every service and pay your tithe doesn't mean that Jesus is where He's supposed to be in your life and you got contact with Him. Somebody help me right now. I'll tell you what's wrong with our churches today. We based everything on faithfulness, and we ought to be faithful. But by the way, before you judge somebody else's faithfulness and stick your finger in their faces, well, they're not qualified for that. They're not. They can't do that. Before you do that, you better look at yourself and see if Jesus is where He's supposed to be in your life. Can you say amen right there? There's a whole lot of people come to church and all it is a religious exercise. But I want to tell you what it needs to be. It needs to be Jesus. Yeah, hey, by the way, our ministry needs to be about Jesus. Thank God for the soul winning this year. Thank God for the mission. But listen to me. That was last year. I'm concerned about this year. I want it to be about Jesus. I want Him in His right place. I don't want Him away from me. Amen. See, what it is, we're faithful and neglectful at the same time. Huh? Because you're busy, it don't mean you're right with God. You can get so busy in the work that you forget the Lord of the work. If your relationship with Christ isn't the number one avenue in your life, you're not going to be effective ministering. You'll not be effective in your Sunday school. You'll not be effective as a layman in worship. It just won't mean as much to you. But I'll tell you what, if some of you say, hey, I'm going to put all this distraction away from me. I'm going to quit listening to all this garbage. And I'm going to get my eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't get them on me. Don't get them on no member. Don't get them on no deacon. God, keep them on Jesus. Amen. We're so busy about religious activity. I wonder, I'm speaking to me as much as I'm speaking to you. I wonder how many of you already have started to read your Bible through at least once this year. Now here's what I'm going to do. We're going to get a sign-up sheet and challenge you to read your Bible through once a year. If you do at the end of the year, I'm going to give you a certificate. I want to encourage you. You said, well, I don't know how. I got it. Write it down. Are you ready? Read 3 chapters a day. Monday through Saturday, 3 chapters a day. And 5 chapters on Sunday. If I'm right, that'll get you through. See, you can't really convince me Jesus is where He ought to be in your life if you're not hearing from Him. Huh? Well, y'all, it ain't nothing getting some of y'all to cook a pie. Thank God for you doing it. We need it. But I wonder if everybody in this room reads this through once a year. Just once. I'm committed to 3 times a year. And I know what it takes to do 3 times a year. You say, why? Because I want to be fed. And by the way, here's our problem. We're faithful in religion. But are we really attached to Christ? Number 2. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. They were forgetful in their responsibility. Look at verse 44. And they supposing him to have in the company went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance, and they found him not. They were forgetful in their responsibility. Now, I want to tell you something. You're not a very responsible parent. You take a child to the mall, and you ain't got him and know where he's at when you get ready to leave the mall. I'll just be honest with you. You're a poor parent. I'm talking about children. Now, these high schoolers, Lord God, they're in their cars. They can go anywhere. Am I preaching? But they were forgetful in their responsibility. I want you to know something. We all dress up for Sunday. You ladies get your bling on and your hair all juiced up. Marguerite had her hair the other day. I like it better like that, by the way. You look more civilized. And she had the other day, you know, up that way and out that way. And she said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, it looks good." But in my soul, I was saying, if you was 20. No, it ain't time to pray, honey. Get your head up. We put on our Christian camouflage. Hello? We do. Oh, we got that camouflage. Oh, listen, man. I'm right at the foot of the cross. And you follow all the way to church. You look like you've been in the one already today. Somebody help me right there. We got that camouflage. Everybody thinks we're right at the foot. Look how good we look this morning. But I want you to know something. You might be camouflaged to church people, but God knows if He's where He ought to be in your life right now.
Amen.
Am I preaching? And, man, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm thinking about going out to lunch with somebody. Anybody want to take me to lunch? Because I know I won't get to go with her. We're living in a busy society. Help me believe that. It's busy. I know you're busy with your kids. You're busy with that. And we're busy. But I want to ask you something. Are you too busy to pray? Hey, the lifeline of a Christian is prayer. The lifeline. I mean, that's our very best. Hey, by the way, friend, when we get so busy that we don't have Jesus right with us, I want to tell you, He's not where He should be if we're not praying. And He's not where He should be if we're not preparing ourselves by reading the Word of God. And He's not there where He should be if we're not spending time in the Holy Ghost. And I know that scares a lot of people. You thought, take it, oh God, He's gone charismatic. No, we had the Holy Ghost before they ever knew it, had a church. I'm talking about some of us Baptists getting back to believing, being filled with the Holy Ghost of God. That's how you know your relationship's right with God. By the way, there's a lot of people go around doing dirty, rotten things, and I'm preaching straight out, and don't get no conviction over it. There's either one or two problems. They either lost or they done got quenched the Holy Ghost so much they don't even know when they're doing wrong. They misplaced Jesus. Am I preaching? Hey, I want you to know something. I want the power of God. This year to make my mind up, and I'm committed to this thought. If it ain't glorifying God and if it ain't about Jesus, I ain't doing it. And I ain't going to be in no mess that doesn't glorify Him. Somebody say amen. We ought to, every leader, every person, every head of a family, ought to say, my family's going to glorify God. My life's going to glorify God. I'm not going to replace Him. Last year, I wasn't as close to Him as I should be last year. Lord God, I know I wasn't where I was. But this year, I'm starting out on January the 5th. I'm committed that He's number one. I'm committed I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm committed that He is going to be the preeminent one in my life. By the way, if you don't do it, you're going to end up with marriage problems. You're going to end up with membership problems. You're going to end up with ministry problems. And I'll tell you what's wrong with most ministries today. They've misplaced Jesus. Look at me. How can somebody say we have a ministry and don't even have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Hello? They are misplaced. It's not about it anymore. Hello? How many of you here in this room right now would make an admission that I've been faithful, I've been religious this year? I've held up my end of the bargain about giving. I've held up my end of the bargain about coming to church, at least some. But I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have that joy. And don't you blame it on a preacher. Don't you blame it on another member. You blame it on this. You done misplaced Jesus. For whatever reason that you say caused it, you done misplaced Jesus. He's down in Jerusalem and you done a day's journey away. Somebody help me preach right there. How many times have I supposed I was right where God wanted me? And in reality, I wasn't. How many times have you supposed you were right at the foot of the cross, but actually you weren't? God help us. The story of Saul is a good example. The Bible said the Spirit of God departed from Saul and he wist not. We didn't know it. I want you to know something. I'll give you a few things. Number one, if you've got Jesus, there won't be no gospel. Amen. Amen. Take the high road. I don't care if people put the seek at you. Take the high road. Live for God. Don't pay no attention to it. I got a good saying. I messed it up the other day. If you want to be immune to criticism and drive your critics crazy at the same time, have a clear nuts. Ignore them. Amen. Quiet in here now. Ignore them. I'm ignoring anybody that doesn't lift up Jesus. I'm going to ignore anybody that doesn't want to give glory in the church. I'm going to ignore anybody that doesn't want Christ first in their lives. I'm going to ignore anybody that doesn't want to really seek God. Somebody help me right there. Yeah. So, it's not. I wonder how many of us this morning. Really, will you take an inventory? Are you really, or is Christ really where he's supposed to be as the number one person in your life? You're responsible. Why does the Bible say work out your own salvation? You're responsible. Lastly, I'll end up on a positive note. They were fruitful in their recovery. You said, what'd they do? Well, they went back where they lost him. And don't tell me you don't know where you misplaced Christ. Don't tell me you don't know the event or the place that you misplaced Christ. Most of us do. Most of us know what caused us to jump off the rail. Am I preaching? But I want you to know, you go back. You get reconnected. Get reconnected with it. Hey, by the way, with the communion of God. I'm going to tell you what. I don't want to go today without feeling His presence. How about you? I really want to. I want to feel His presence. I want His power to be on me so strong. I want His grace to be on me so strong that nothing. And I always remember, if God be for me, who can be against me? And I want my fellowship. My fellowship with God and my fellowship with you and my family. I know some folks that don't have much fellowship with people. I want to tell you what, look at me right now. I want to say this one time and real good, start the year out. Y'all not my enemy. You're my flock. I love you so dearly. I care about you. You're my flock. And don't look across the aisle and say, well, that person's my enemy. Not really. They are not your enemy. The devil's your enemy. Your adversary who hates your guts is your enemy. Whew. Boy, how many of you like real sweet fellowship? Sean's going to make an announcement when we close in prayer about something. Well, we're going to try to get that close fellowship and communion of God. You know, the prodigal son had to go back. By the way, the father was right there to meet him. And when the father saw him, he took off running. By the way, it won't be as hard to get back as you think it is. Because I want to tell you, as soon as you take up and say, you know what, I've misplaced it. Now, it doesn't mean you're out drinking, carrying on, acting like a devil. I ain't saying that. I'm just saying you're not as hot for God. The fellowship's not where it used to be. The communion's not where it used to be. Remember where it was Jesus in the morning and Jesus at noon and Jesus all day long. And you had happy thoughts. Boy, I'll tell you what, the last 3 days, I've been so happy. Just feel free. Happy as a coon in a corn patch. That's happy. And, boy, went Friday night, and I was with my favorite crowd Friday night. Went with the teenagers. I preached for them. I was so loose. I had a time. I mean, whoa, I had a time. And then right afterwards, they said, do you have any money? I'm serious. They weren't told about snacks. So they come to Pawpaw and said, can you give me some money? And I went to Jared and said, I want you to reimburse me. I'll give him my last $100 bill. Listen to me. I had a time. It was 6 degrees when I got out there. You know what? This ought to be like a funeral parlor. It ought to be. I'm having the best time of my life. I'm doing what I like most right now, serving God. Amen. You going to be here Wednesday?
Yes, sir.
You sure? Going to be in the will of God?
Absolutely.
You preach Wednesday. Okay. Jesus where he's supposed to be? Then preach. Let me ask you. I'm going to walk around y'all. I just want to look you over. I love you. Is he where he's supposed to be in your life? How about it? See, number one. And you know what? If he's not number one, we all ought to hit that altar today. If we someone have misplaced him for some reason, we ought to just come to the altar. Not, let's just forget about who we are. Let's forget about what time it is and just have church. Woo! I'll tell you what will happen tonight if we all do that. We'll shout out tonight. We'll praise God tonight. We've decided we're going to start this year off and not and have Jesus where he's supposed to be. Number uno. One. And anywhere else, he's not happy with us.
Amen.
You say, well, I've got him two. He ain't happy with two. God's a jealous God. God's an awesome God. He wants a number one priority in your life. Bow your head.